Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T.
You ready,
bro?
All right. Let's get this party started.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NCAA football. Ole Miss is 3-0 on the season after their defeat of Alabama for the second time in 2 years. That's back-to-back for everyone keeping score at home.
Okay, first of all, do people know what back-to-back is? All right, go ahead.
As the new AP poll comes out, that puts Ole Miss tied for third with TCU. I don't like it when they do ties in polls. I think you should get an extra voter in there and break the tie. And I'm not saying that I think Ole Miss should be third, TCU should be fourth. I don't care. I just want the tie broken. I hate that.
What I do when they can look at the scores and say, okay, who scored the most points, to do something that breaks the tie.
Yeah, there's got to be a tiebreaker somewhere, somehow.
I know that they didn't score a lot of points. They can't have scored as many as we have, so that could have broke the tie for somebody.
Right. You being right there in Oxford, as we've made notice many times on the podcast, where do you see Ole Miss ending the season, looking at their schedule?
You know, here's the thing. They went 7-0 last year. And then I don't know what happened. The wheels just fell off.
Injuries. Injuries and Bo Wallace.
No, I mean, okay, yeah, Treadwell got hurt. But, you know, he had other decent receivers. The defense was still solid. They just, I don't even know if artists went. Maybe they had that Space Jam experience. Somebody stole their mojo before they got to Arkansas.
Right.
But they played God awful up there. And I don't know. I think they have a good team. It's still early. Like you said, injuries could play a role. With that foolishness that Kelly did the other day, that pass to Laquan that happened to be a touchdown, like that kind of stuff right there, that could have been a pick the other way.
Right, yeah, right, and right at the beginning of the third quarter.
He's got to make better decisions.
Yes,
he got to make better decisions. And with that, I'm not really sure. But the schedule is favorable. LSU is going to be tough, but the good thing for that is it's at home. Texas A&M may be tough. We'll see. I mean, teams tend to get better as the season goes on. So those both are late games.
Auburn will be a late game, even though they're struggling right now.
Auburn is probably going to get better. And by the time we meet them, they might be on found their mojo, which has been stolen. But congratulations for hiring Muschamp, because we all know how I feel about him, and
right.
I'm wishing them all of no success that they can have, and I repeat, all of no success that they can have.
Ooh, somebody bitter about what he did to her game.
He tried to destroy the band, the brand, and thank God he wasn't successful, but he was pretty close.
Oh, man. Let's see. Moving on. Ohio State. A little bit of a quarterback controversy been going on all year. Cardale Jones has not looked good through the first 3 weeks of the season. And I know tomorrow, Urban Meyer is supposed to name his starter. And a lot of people are expecting it to be JT Barrett because that's who he finished out the Northern Illinois game with.
It really don't matter. Nobody's good in that division. Like I said, Michigan probably give them a run just because Jim will have the boys ready for the rivalry. And they both should be, like, both should be getting to their peak, whatever that is going to be by the end of the season when they'll meet. As long as they can run the ball and have the quarterback manage the team, they'll be fine. I mean, if they're not playing in the SEC,
And they have Ezekiel Elliott back there, who is the quarterback's best friend to run the ball.
So they can run it. They got the other little quarterback out there playing slot, whatever you want to put him in. And
who is still learning the position and doing better each game.
Right, so he's going to get better. Nobody's worried about them. They just can't have some little hiccup like, you know, I think what USC lost to Stanford, or was it?
Right, mm-hmm.
So they can't have that kind of little hiccup, because being in that division, or in that conference, excuse me, they can't have those kind of losses.
I feel like, I know a lot of people were hyped about Cardell coming in the season as a starter because he's the one that won him the championship, but he was only the starter the last couple games of the season last year. I mean, I feel like JT Barrett probably should have been the starter outright to start the season. This is me, an outsider, not being in camp, not knowing what went on, you know, during the spring, during the fall. But,
well, sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
Well, let's be clear. That was the reason he was the third string quarterback. Okay. Yeah, he stepped in for those couple, two games that he played well?
Right.
It really wasn't a lot of pressure on him because, you know, if he didn't do well, he was the third string quarterback.
Right.
He happened to do well, so now he can walk on water. Well, no, that was the reason that he was the third string quarterback in the first place. And now that there's a lot of pressure on him, we seeing why he was the third-string quarterback.
Yeah.
And I have to say he ain't good, but, I mean, two games don't make a season. Yes, he helped them win the national title, but, again, they had good running back, good receivers, defense, so.
Yeah, he had a good core around him to make him look, you know, even better.
No pressure at all. And we know, my brother liked to say, pressure busts pipes. So, yeah.
Right.
He's struggling.
As far as this upcoming week, I think a must-see game is Michigan and BYU. BYU finally lost last week after having two miracle finishes. Finally lost to UCLA, but UCLA is a very good team, as you said before.
Yeah.
This is a good test for Michigan. We're going to see where Michigan is at right here in week four.
Well, they're probably behind the preposition where it should have been a phrase. But anyway, I don't really think Michigan is that good. Again, the good news for them is that they don't play in a conference that I would be. If they played in the SEC, it would be a problem, but they don't. So they're going to be able to get some wins. And is this at home? Is this at Michigan? Or is it
I don't know.
It's because that could be the telltale, like if it's going to be on the road or at home. Because we all know that everybody plays better at home. So that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, or breaks the tie.
Yeah, it's always nicer to play in the big house.
But the bottom line is, neither one of them going to be in the championship thing at the end. So,
is the big house, is that on our bucket list?
Yeah, we wanted to see Michigan and Ohio State play.
Yeah, we still got time. We're going to get there eventually.
You probably should have went when the ticket was. They was giving them away because now that
right now might be good. Now that Jim Harbaugh in there, yeah, it might be a little high price.
Yeah, we may never be able to afford it.
Oh well, I think that's going to take us to our first break. When we come back, we'll get into NFL talk, break down week two, and give a little outlook to week three and beyond. So we'll get into that on the other side. It's been the Mac and T Show.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast, NFL. Let's start off with the Cowboys. They lost Dez Bryant at the week one with a broken foot. In week two, they see their quarterback, Tony Romo. Romo, excuse me, Tony Romo, go down with the, I was trying to combine Romo and collarbone at some point, but anyway, he went down with a broken collarbone, and it looks like he's not going to have surgery. It's on his non-throwing arm, but he's still going to be out probably 18 weeks, whatever the length of time will be. So that puts him and Dez out about the same length of time. Puts him back around Thanksgiving, maybe the week after. Where do we see the Cowboys? Where do we see them going from here?
Well, they're going to struggle. Maybe the good news is that the Eagles and everybody else will be too. That division is not like great.
If there was ever a division for this to happen to, it would be this one. The NFC East. I think you can still come out being okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay if they can just steal a few wins on the road and just hold it down and don't get under 500. And then hope for the best when they come back. With bad feet, if you break your foot, they don't have any idea when he'll be back. So that's going to be a problem. Even if his collarbone healed, he one hit and one heavy dude away from landing on him. Because that's how it happened. I saw the dude, all that weight was on that little shoulder, and I was like, ooh, that ain't probably no good.
And this is an injury he's had before as well.
So,
Not that makes it any easier.
Let me see. We got in that division, we got Dallas, Washington, New York, and Philly. All of them off.
Yeah, you brought up Philly. Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump into Philly. As the Philadelphia Eagles are 0-2 on the season. Not looking good at all.
Them and the Giants.
You and I were texting back and forth during this past Sunday's game.
It was like watching a train wreck, and I couldn't turn away for some reason. I kept hoping that it would get better, but it never did. Neither team was doing anything, but the Eagles were god awful.
One of your texts to me was that they should have kept Tebow for all this.
Yes!
At least Tim Tebow could have run for his life. I mean, you got the offensive line that was terrible. Sam Bradford, not mobile at all. He looked confused. He looked discombobulated. Any other adjectives you want to throw out there, that's what the man looked like. His receivers, I would say they're not getting open, but they don't have time to get open. The offensive line is not blocking. DeMarco Murray is a downhill runner. They got him running side to side.
When he wanted to run downhill, they was in the backfield so fast. He didn't stand a chance.
Right now, he's on pace for 88 yards total this season.
But that's good, because I don't know why he left Dallas. They put up with you when you out stealing cologne and whatever else you were stealing, some stupidness. I don't think the Eagles offered him more money, did it?
No, I don't think so.
So why would you leave somebody that was loyal to you? I understand it's a business, so I get that. But all things being equal, they could have been like, you done. You out here stealing cologne, embarrassing the team. But they was stuck behind him.
I'm sure he was wanting a certain amount of money. Didn't get it. Felt like pro athletes getting their feelings, I'm just gonna go play for the rival and come back and get y'all. Well, that worked out for him real well.
Why would you leave the familiar though? You just had one of the best seasons of your career, or the best season.
Running behind the best offensive line in the league.
You got the best line in at least your division.
Playing in Jerry's world.
They got the nicest stadium in the country. You got a good quarterback. Bryant got hurt, but you got a good wide receiver, which balances out, so they just can't put eight in the box all the time, because then they're like, all right, we can't double-team him.
Right.
And you got the tight end that's good. So I don't really know why you would go to the Eagles. Like, they weren't good last year. I don't know. Maybe it's some stuff that we don't know about.
Yeah, you never know what goes on in the world. But hey, you giving me some great segues, because now I'm just going to throw from one contract controversy to another. Let's jump to the Seattle Seahawks, who are 0-2 with their team captain, you know, whatever, vocal leader. Well, I say vocal leader. Richard Sherman's pretty vocal, but this Cam Chancellor is a vocal leader that don't act a fool 98% of the time.
That most people don't even know about.
Right.
Unless they really die hard or actually watch football.
I think at this point, they're not going to trade you. They had you under contract for 3 more years. They don't have to negotiate with you at all right now.
They don't, but they keep losing. When their defense keep being porous, they're going to.
Right. I think one of two things going to happen. They either going to cave or he's going to realize that, you know, it'll look really good on me if I come back, we start winning. Fans get behind me and the fan base get behind you and the fan base will show you love and they'll get Seattle to give him his money.
But at this point, I think during the New Orleans game, they showed if you go 0-2, you got like 11% chance of making the playoffs. So,
well, the chances of them
making the playoffs, I mean, Arizona's good.
Right.
Don't know what the Rams and the rest of them are going to do. I know the 49ers are off when they showed that against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh exposed their defense for what it was, putting up 43 points on them.
So the good news for them is even though their percentage is out there, like they could very well finish second. In the division. Right. New Orleans is playing awful. Tampa Bay is not going to be good. Chicago, Detroit. I mean, so they got a chance to not even really worry about this 11%, but they got to make some better decisions with their life. Like last time they threw the ball or ran the ball when they should have threw it. It's just too much. Make some good decisions.
Right. Yeah, speaking of over two teams, and you mentioned them there in that little diatribe. The New Orleans Saints. 0-2 on the season. You've watched both of their games, haven't you?
Yes.
Not looking very good.
I'm so sad for y'all.
And then,
I didn't mean y'all, it's a you. But
oh, I understand. No. Yeah.
Because the first game y'all played, or they played against the Cardinals, I said, okay, the Cardinals just got more firepower. They young. They look like they could potentially, you know, get better with time, man.
Right.
Get to know each other and all those things, that intricacies of having a good team. Then, they look atrocious against Tampa Bay. The defense act like it couldn't play. And for some reason, like in the fourth quarter, so they decided, oh, yeah, we know how to play football. But by that time, Drew Brees hurt himself, which I knew something was wrong when he was throwing them deep balls and they was just kind of just hanging up there. And I was like, well, I ain't no Drew Brees fan, but I know he can throw this ball better than this. Right. Yeah, then he come out, he hurt.
Yeah, he has a bruised rotator cuff. Dr. James Andrews gave a second opinion, and the initial diagnosis was he possibly missed multiple games. After the second opinion with Dr. James Andrews, looks like he may miss just one, may not even miss just one.
Okay, if he don't miss one, well, I guess he better than the backup because he could not throw the ball. Mm. Like, he didn't have a lot of zip on those passes, and I'm glad to know he was hurt. I did not say I was glad he was hurt. Anybody that may have misheard.
Right.
I'm glad to know he was hurt.
Because you were questioning his arm.
Right. I was like, I know that I've seen Drew Brees throw better balls, and there's no way something is not wrong that he can't get this ball down the field with no zip on it.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Going on to the other side of things, the New York Jets, 2-0 on the season.
J-E-T-S. Oh,
coming into the year, there was a lot of questions with the Jets. They added some pieces. Their starting quarterback, what's the boy's name? Geno Smith. I just drew a blank.
Geno Smith. Nobody cares. Smith got popped in his jaw because he ought to give that man his money. And this is a lesson for all of y'all. Don't be buying and owing people and talking trash.
Right. Yeah, you know, don't. And if you're going to talk trash, at least have some kind of guard up.
Yes, be able to duck.
Because apparently, by the pictures I saw, his jaw, he got him clean.
Bob, we something.
Well, I really, and I'm not just saying this because they are my fantasy team defense, but they have a great defense in New York. The Jets have an awesome they've proven it in two games this year already. Last night, Monday Night Football, they played the Colts, and they shut the Colts down. I mean, there was a fourth and there was like a fourth and one. No, it actually wound up being like a first and one, and they got it all the way down, and the Colts wound up missing a field goal. No, they fumbled. They fumbled on the fourth and one. They got it all the way to fourth and one. Colts fumble, Jets recover. They have a shutdown defense.
They may have a look like they had a shutdown defense, but I meant the stuff that Luck and what's the running back that was at the 49ers?
Frank Gore.
Because he looked like he just dropped that ball on purpose.
Like, yeah.
Nobody touched it. And it just fell out. That, like, I don't think I've ever seen a ball just fall out of somebody's hand without getting touched.
Right.
I don't see people try to tuck it or running and it hit their leg or something. I was like, that, this right here, I don't really know what you're doing with your life. You better than that. But, yeah, the Jets, I mean, oh boy, Brian Fitzpatrick keep winning. I mean, he may come back and be standing on the sideline and
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing some really good ball. He's got weapons. He got Brandon Marshall, the free agent from Chicago.
Right.
Eric Decker is there, who looks a lot better as a second option.
And they play the Eagles now. Unless the Eagles have some miraculous turnaround, they should beat them next week. Cause
well, even if they have a miraculous turnaround offensively, the Eagles' defense is still terrible. So, yeah. Jets could have Chris Ivory in the backfield. Chris Ivory is about 475 years old, but still can run the ball and still is a beast. I mean, just pounding it in there, pounding, 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 round and pound. That's what they call it in New York, round and pound.
Okay, yeah. That's not MMA, New York. Y'all stop with that foolishness. But good luck, Jets.
Well, I think that's gonna bring us to our next break. On the other side, we'll talk about Empire season 2 starts tomorrow.
I'm so excited. I want to say what I want with no apologies.
Oh my. Alright, well, we'll get into that and a lot more on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Empire season 2 starts tomorrow night on Fox.
Tomorrow on Fox, people.
Season 2, episode 1. We are excited. T and I are very big fans of the show. We know we kind of previewed it already last week's episode, but what we kind of want to do here today is kind of give our predictions on what's going to happen. Do you want to do for the whole season, or you want to just do prediction on the first episode?
Well, I have nothing for the first episode. I do have some thoughts and some things that I would like to say very quickly.
Go ahead.
As far as, you know, we talked about some backstory stuff, and I just watched the Empire season 2 little preview thing that they did on Fox. And they are going to give us some more backstory and explain why Lucius was on his own at 9, however these parents died or whatever went down with that, went to jail, whatever might have happened.
Good, good.
And they're going to give us some more backstory on what was going on with Cookie in jail, according to what they were saying. Of course, they couldn't tell so much. And,
Orange is New Black, anyway.
Oh, Lord. yeah, we're starting that off again. So it should be interesting to see where all of that goes. Apparently, there's going to be like this love hate relationship thing going on with Cookie and Lucius. Now that, what's the middle son name? I can't even think of his name.
Jamal.
Now that Jamal has to come in, apparently his character is going to change because they talk about him being nothing like he was in the first season. Which, this is just one of those how power changes people's probably perspectives. And they did mention about the uncle dying at the oldest son's house with the fight. And then the wife told him, don't call the police, Lord. They showed them burying him, I guess, in the backyard.
All right, Malik Yoba's character, for anyone who doesn't understand, Uncle Vernon.
Vernon.
He and Andre got into a tussle right toward the end of the last episode of season one, and Andre's wife, girlfriend, do we really know? Are they married? Him and the white girl.
Yeah, they're married.
Okay.
That's his wife.
Right. So she comes in and bangs Uncle Vernon on the head. Uncle Vernon starts bleeding profusely.
Man down.
Right. And obviously he passes on, as we know by the fact that Malik Yoba was released from the show. So, yeah. So we'll definitely get to see what happens with that.
But I think he may be back because, again, if they do backstory, it seems that he was, unless they just cut him out some kind of way, it seemed that he was a part of Lucius' life for a while, him and the cousin. So Bunky might be back in some of these, too.
Right.
Because if they do a lot of backstory, those seem like two integral parts because Bunky talked about raising the kids, so.
Yeah, like, and last we saw Bunky, he was sitting on the edge of Lucius's bed while Lucius was, dreaming and telling all, telling Cookie everything he done. So
I think that, you know, it's going to Cookie and her Jamal will be at odds. They won't successfully take over the company. Just like most, you know, movies and shows where the monsters and thugs or whatever that are, you know, big kingpin style people that they run their companies from in jail.
Right.
I don't see that being any different for Lucius. He'll be running Empire, or whatever, Lucius Lines, whatever they call it, from in jail. And I don't think I'm pretty sure they're not going to take over. I mean, but we'll see, because they said it's going to be some surprises.
Now, I don't see Cookie and Boo Boo Kitty getting along at all.
Yeah, they gonna backstab probably each other.
Yeah, I think those two are what's gonna be the downfall of the takeover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at all. I think, like you say, Lucius, I agree with you about Lucius being able to run his thing from prison. I think he's got that kind of power and that kind of pull, and you know he was playing. It's almost like he knew what was about to happen because he was planting those seeds and he was in Jamal's mind right toward the end of season one.
Right.
So he was planting it and he got it like he wants it, even though he's on the other side.
And I think that eventually Lucius is going to get out of jail, and I still say that he had too quick of a turnaround. You was all about, oh, my son is gay. Why do you choose to live that lifestyle? And you was all on it, and then you just made this miraculous 180 overnight. And I think those feelings that haven't gone anywhere, I think Lucius is manipulative, and he would do what he have to do to get what he wants. And so he'll use that boy and get what he want, and then go back to his old ways when he get out of jail and can get his power back. Because now he know he's not dying, and he ain't really passing nothing to nobody.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they develop Hakeem's character, the youngest son. I think there was times where he would bounce in and out of being hard, and then you know he was kind of a soft, he whipped little boy when he was with Naomi Campbell. But I just think that, you know, he just went back and forth between wanna be thug, and then you never know which way he was gonna swing. Then he got real difficult at the end when Lucius popped him real good after he laid down those lyrics with Snoop and all them around.
I think that he's going to have to, I mean, now that his daddy is not there and kind of sheltered, like, because his dad was always on him to do this, do that, shielding him from things. In one of the scenes, they showed a quick clip. It looked like now Cookie was like, I can make you, like, you better than your father. I can make you the man, basically. And so I think this might be the opportunity that they take to make that relationship stronger, because she always has a great relationship with Jamal. It seemed like she really don't have any relationship with the older son, but I think this would be an opportunity for her. I leaked the bond a little bit.
I think Andre, the oldest one, understood, Andre, you know, she was going to jail and why she was going to jail. I think the middle child, Jamal, they always were really close because he didn't have much of a relationship with Lucius, because Lucius didn't appreciate his, you know, his lifestyle.
When he was a baby.
Even when he was dressing up like a woman. And then Hakeem was a toddler. So they didn't have a relationship at all.
Right, and I think this is an opportunity for them to build one.
Right.
With her trying to help him now that the dad is pretty much out the picture and not pushing him. I think this is the opportunity for them to build a relationship. This mental health issue that's going on with Andre is going to be an issue probably throughout the show. And that could be one of the reasons that this is successful. Because he is mentally unstable, figuratively and literally.
Yeah, I think that could be, Cookie and Boo Boo Kitty getting into it. I think Andre's mental issues could also be a detriment to the takeover effect with that group.
I'm excited. I'm even considering staying up late tomorrow.
Right, and which is big for you.
This is big, people. If you may or may not know, I get into bed for nightfall, mostly.
Right.
Except in the winter when it gets dark at 6. But other than that, I'm in bed before nightfall, and I rarely see 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Hey, that's what happens when you get into that.
I might see it tomorrow, people. Y'all stay up with me.
Yes, please stay up. Check it out. Keep it on the air. Keep the ratings up.
But, I don't think that'll be an issue. You know, people they show people at, like, clubs and bars, not clubs, at, like, little eateries that had the screens, the televisions, having parties. So I was like, wow. And Taraji talked about how she's been doing this work for 20 years, and she said that she always, you know, go to the store, get the things that she needed, and she said since she's been on this show, she's had to get a personal assistant because she pretty much can't go anywhere now.
Right. So, yeah, she's that's big crazy. Time.
And I suspect that same thing happened to Kerry Washington, because people that were moving, you know, buffs knew who she was and knew she had been in a lot of stuff. But until Scandal hit, speaking of Scandal, that's the Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, but until Scandal hit, I'm sure, you know, she could live a kind of normal life, and then all of a sudden, Scandal hit, and it was like, Kerry Washington.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be interesting to see how that season plays out as well. But that's another story for another time. Sorry for the late drop on this one, everyone.
It's Skype's fault.
Yeah, it was technical difficulties. It was timing issues.
Skype wouldn't work. It wasn't our fault.
Skype shut down. Shout out to Skype for being there on all the other occasions. But right quick before we ended up, I just want to say a quick congratulations to friends of the podcast, Jennifer and Andrew Nolan, having their first child, a boy named Miles, 7.8 pounds, 19.5 inches. Had him this afternoon, so congratulations to them.
That baby didn't want you putting his business out in the streets like this.
Our dozens of listeners are appreciative of us letting them know. So congratulations to Jen and Andrew. That's going to be a wrap for us, everyone. As always, I'm Brian McKay, and I'm with
T-Day.
What time is it?
This has been the Mac and T-Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T-Show. This is the Mac and T-Show. We talk movies and T-Shows. Sports and world news. Coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T-Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We go on to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.